Hello, friends, and thank you for listening to the Hope Canteen podcast, where we look at upcoming scripture readings for insight into our walk with Christ. This is our 32nd podcast. My name is Stephen London, pastor at St. Thomas Anglican Church, and as always, I'm joined by Stephanie London, pastor at St. Columba, and Michael Rolfe, retired archdeacon of the diocese. We are coming up on Christmas, and I thought, if it's okay with you, we might do something a little bit different to start our podcast. I'm just curious, when you think of Christmas morning, what are your favorite Christmas morning traditions?
I have to think twice. When I was a child, our Christmas tradition would be to have, there was always a present from some relatives in England, which would be under the tree, and we would get to open that. But then we would have to go to church before we could look at anything else under the tree. And that was really stressful for young children. But that's the way it was in my home as a child. Nowadays, it's getting together on Christmas morning we have a gift opening afterwards, actually, at home for back in our home for our own gifts. But we go to be with my son and daughter-in-law and grandchildren. And we're all together for Christmas brunch, which they put on. It amazes me as I'm thinking about Christmas how important food is around Christmas. We talk about the big Christmas dinner and everybody has to have a turkey, but why do we have to have turkeys? I don't know. It's all about food at Christmas time. And for me, it's definitely about food. It's the home baking and the brunch with lots of good, rich stuff.
For me, I always, when I was a child, I used to love walking into the living room and there would be stuff there that wasn't there the night before. And it, just the sense of, even when I knew it was behind it, that it had just magically appeared. And we always got to open our stockings before breakfast. So we would crawl onto my parents' bed and open our stockings. And we often went to my grandparents' house after breakfast. I have no idea where this got started, but we weren't allowed to open any presents until my grandpa had had his second cup of coffee. So we would wait and wait, and he would milk it. He would, you know, take these tiny little sips. And when my uncle got married, my aunt, her first Christmas with the family, decided that this was ridiculous. So every year she started buying him smaller and smaller mugs to put this coffee in. So eventually he had like this dollhouse sized mug, and she filled it with coffee with an eyedropper. And that was his second cup of coffee, so that we could go open our presents.
I think for me in the, I'm going to talk about current Christmas traditions. I guess I love two things. There is a joy in giving my kids presents and watching them open those presents. I do enjoy that. I think the other thing I like is the aftermath of the Christmas opening, because I can read a book and I don't have any other responsibilities. I don't have to go do anything else. And so there's this leisurely aspect of Christmas that I like, that I don't find on any other day of the year, actually, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So I've actually in recent years really enjoyed that Christmas morning service. It's kind of quiet and we get John 1 and you know, it's a neat time.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that, for being willing to share. I do appreciate that. As we turn to our podcast, again, we are doing something different because it's Christmas. We're looking at the Christmas story. This is what Advent has been preparing for. This is the great culmination. And so I thought we should spend some time on it. If you do wish to read the Christmas story ahead of time, you can pause the podcast here and read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And if you want to do a little bit extra, you can also read John 1, 1 to 18. This is the story of the birth of our Savior. Mary and Joseph have to travel to the small village of Bethlehem because of a decree from a man who lived 2,300 kilometers away. There is, of course, no room in the inn for them to give birth, let alone a hospital or even a midwife. But in a stable, Mary gives birth to her son and names him Jesus, which means God saves. And she lays him in a manger, a feeding trough, and, well, I'll stop there. This is such a beautiful and moving story and packed full of meaning for us, so I thought maybe we could jump in. What jumps out at you when you read this story?
One of the first things I notice is this juxtaposition between the sacred and the political world. So the birth of Jesus is happening against a background of the census and the Roman emperor. And then we have this story of the Magi and Herod. And it talks, Luke makes the point of saying the city of David, which immediately sucks in these Old Testament prophecies. So it's not this isolated spiritual event, but it also tells us that the birth of this child is going to have wide-reaching political ramifications for the whole human family.
For me, it's the familiarity of the story. We almost don't need to read it because we could probably all tell the story off by heart, but we do read it and it's all very nice, but there were realities at play that just get glossed over. Like a woman giving birth in a stable, all of the stuff that goes along, the physical stuff that goes along with giving birth, that's not mentioned. It's messy, it's painful and all of that, but we hear the beauty of this moment. That's what the scriptures tell us about, how beautiful it was that this child was born there in the stable, and then the shepherds, it doesn't talk about them stumbling in the dark as they try to make their way from the hillside into the city, but instead they just somehow get there. And it's glossed, so much is glossed over. That's what strikes me about the story.
Michael, I'm glad you say that. I actually really feel for Joseph at this moment. I remember when we were in the car going to the hospital for the birth of our middle child, traffic was crazy. We were getting nowhere. I'm on the cell phone with my father-in-law, and he jokes that I'd better untie my shoelaces. In other words, going to have help Stephanie give birth in this car. I have no idea what to do. I'm guessing Joseph also has no idea what to do. And yet this couple, they do. They manage in this place and in this stable to give birth to Jesus. And I think that's what speaks to me about this. We are talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, who all these prophecies have been pointing to, and yet born in this, the only word we can think of is humility, I guess. But I find that just profound, very profound.
And just to bring it back to what Michael was saying, not only born in humility, but born, the fact that God became so small and the first we actually see of the incarnate God is the messiness of birth. It's something that should shock us and should take us completely by surprise, because we always, I think, try to lean toward God being pure and holy and out there. But this story of the birth of Jesus tells us that it's actually the opposite.
I just could say, I want a few more verses in the story. I want to hear that the innkeeper's wife came out to the stable and helped with the birth. They were very fortunate to discover that she was, in fact, a midwife. And
I hope that's right.
Yeah, I want all that to be in the story, because these people are away from home. They've traveled a great distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and it's hilly country, and they've gone up and down over the hills, and we have pictures that suggest that Mary rode on a donkey, but it must have, it's not like getting in the car and driving to the hospital. They've had this great journey, and then along comes the baby. It's really tough stuff.
Yeah, it is. And I think I want to hover here for a moment. Stephanie used the word incarnate, of course, fancy Latin word meaning in the flesh. And sometimes people criticize me because I'm very much a head person, and I'm happy to be so. I am who I am. That sort of stuff excites me. But what I want to pause here is recognize that it all actually comes together. The head stuff, the heart stuff, the loftiness of God, the messiness of life. I think that's the beauty of the Christian faith for me. We try to make these distinctions about, spirit and those things that are spiritual and those things that are just kind of lowly and, you know, sweeping the house and doing the dishes. And to me, in Christmas, it all comes together. You just can't make those distinctions. It's spiritual to come to church and celebrate Eucharist. It's spiritual to do dishes. It's spiritual to open presents with your children. It's spiritual to fast. It's spiritual to feast. It's all spiritual. It's all God. It's all beautiful.
And our worship of God on the flip side is also very physical, very like we act it out with our bodies. We take the bread and wine into our stomachs. We kneel, we sit, you know, we're next to people, and when it's not the pandemic, who represent everyone in humanity, right? That we may love them, we may not love them, but we're all in the body of Christ worshiping with who we are, physically who we are.
Story is where the Trinity becomes a problem for me in a way, because it's not a problem, but I have to point out that, yes, we talk about this birth and now Christ is born, the baby is born. And so that is God with us, but God has been with those people all through this, all the way in the journeying. God has been with them. These folks have journeyed far from home. They don't have around them the support of family and friends that they have known in Nazareth. They have come as a couple to be there, and they are very much alone, but God is with them even before the baby's born. God has been with them in the journey. No matter what hardship they may have encountered, God has been with them all the way. And that, to me, that's important to note.
Absolutely, Michael. I agree with you 100%. God has always been with them. The Spirit of God has always been with them. I think what I'm trying to say is it's at all these levels. Absolutely. We are focusing on the story of this man and woman having this child, this small level. But simultaneously, it's this big level. So in Genesis 1, we read about the creation of the universe, of matter. And God said, and it was good. And I want to suggest that in some way, this Luke 2 could also be seen as Genesis 2. This is actually, in a sense, the culmination of the creation story, that not only has God created creation, but now God has entered creation and in so doing, sanctifying creation in this sense. And this is one of the great principles of Christianity that just underlies our whole sacramental system. Matter can bear spirit, that we are not Gnostic. We're not these pure spiritual entities that are stuck in a body, but that in fact, we are what God made us, matter and spirit blended. And he exemplified that in the birth of this child because he himself. So that's all I'm trying to say, Michael. Absolutely, God has been with him the whole time. But I think in Mary, God has now brought creation to a whole nother level. I guess that's all I'm trying to say.
I think of it as kind of this great cosmic stitch that's starting to sew things back together as they were, you know, intended to be.
But when Abraham and God were, and when Abraham encountered God, God wouldn't allow Abraham to actually see his face. It was always, you know, you could see his back, but you couldn't see his face. Now God is very much, the face is there, and it's the face of a baby. And how lovely is that?
Well said. That's perfect.
Yeah, I love that God would actually decide that to show his face as a baby's face, because like it's something that none of us could possibly be afraid of. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the little baby.
And I think that is why people often talk about, again, this spiritual secular divide, you know, that the real thing is we need to go to church on Christmas morning. And that feasting with our friends and opening presents with our kids, that's secondary. And I actually want to suggest, this might be controversial, it's not secondary. It's all of a piece. They all go together. The feasting and the worshiping. God made us with bodies. He made pleasure. He made food. It's all of God. So we are coming up on time. I wish we could talk about this forever, but this is good stuff. Maybe as we end here, I'll end with a more general question than we do. What final thought would you like to give as we come to the end of our podcast on Christmas, the Christmas story, whatever?
pick up on just on that thought that God was with them through all the hardship. And this is a year when we are facing the hardship of forced separation from our loved ones. And so we, like Mary and Joseph, are in that sense not able to be with our family and friends who are our support system around us. Yes, we can do it through Zoom, but it isn't the same. And I just want to remember that no matter what happens here, God is with us and mm-hmm. will see us through the tough time.
Yeah, what came to mind was a phrase that I think my dad used, that sometimes it's nice to have love with skin on it, you know, so not just to know that you're loved, but actually to have, you know, a person who can show you that. Christmas reminds me what a gift it is that God actually gave us love with skin on it, and fleshed love, love that we could actually see in these very imaginative passages and experience physically, and of course through the words of scripture and in each other.
I would follow that, Stephanie. I love, there's a real physicality to Christmas, absolutely. And I think you're right, love with skin. Like, I think when I hug my children, it's me hugging them, but I also always see it as God hugging them through me, showing love through me, and people have shown me love. I want to go back to this thing of balance. There is this balance in the Christian life, but it's not these divisions of the sacred and the holy versus the secular and the daily. I really think God made us like this. I want to give this opportunity to read one of my favorite quotes by C.S. Lewis, because I meditate on this a lot. And he writes, "There's no good trying to be more spiritual than God. God never meant us to be a purely spiritual creature. That's why he uses material things like bread and wine to put new life into us. We may think this rather crude and unspiritual, but God does not. He invented eating. He likes matter. He invented it." So I'm going to worship on Christmas Eve. I'm going to sing holy carols, and I'm going to feast the next day. And I think it's all the same
that
celebration.
Turkey from God.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, as we end this podcast, we do want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas. We know that COVID is hard. We know that many of us are really struggling with being separated from the people that we love. So we are praying extra strong for us and for all of you, that you may still know that Christmas blessing, the birth of Christ so long ago, being born in your hearts once more this year. May you know the love of God in Christ. We will come back with a new podcast in the new year, but until then, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.